8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. It's that time again, and we are here for podcast number 38. And today we have another special phone-in guest we are very excited about. We have with us today Roy Fields. Yay!
Yay, Roy!
So I'm going to turn it over to Roy and Kat, and whichever one of you want to start first, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I think we have some really important things to talk about. I know sometimes we're wild and crazy. We may throw some of that in at the end. But really, you know, I think the education of the body, and not just the body, actually the world, they need to understand we have a soul. And I'm glad that's one of the things Roy's going to be talking about, too, to understand you are three parts. And I have a lot of revelation on the soul. And so I'll be talking about Hollywood and the soul. And I'm going to let Roy do some first, because I know he's been involved in a lot of that type of thing now. So what have you been doing lately, Roy?
Well, I've been having fun ever since I saw you on that cruise last year. I've been having a lot of fun.
Yes, good.
That was a great cruise we took there.
It was a great time.
Just so the guys at home maybe know what that was. When was that and where was that and what was that?
That was the cruise that we went and saw. Kat can help me with this. I think it was 7 different countries.
Yeah, it's the Baltic.
The Baltic cruise. I call it
in Russia, right?
Yes, Russia, Denmark,
Estonia,
Norway,
Finland,
Estonia,
Helsinki. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. We learned a lot of new things about other countries, and I always loved doing that. Having been almost nowhere growing up with a family of 15 kids,
yeah.
So I've really been, God's blessed me to let me understand and experience new people and places. So you're right, and it was a lot of fun, and we certainly enjoyed meeting your son.
Yeah,
he's awesome, young man of God.
That was a lot of fun.
And of course, how much you enjoyed the creme brulee.
I was going to mention,
which besides chocolate is one of my most favorite desserts. I think we had to pray to be loosed from that.
One of the things I really enjoyed about that whole cruise was just getting to know you, Kat, and your husband, and of course your sister and your mother and your team and your family and everybody there, Kim and Margaret.
Yeah.
It was really cool to get to know you, you know, because I'd heard about you, but you and I, we first met a couple years ago at Christian Television Network.
Yes, we did.
And that's been a great time since then. So
yes, I think that was a God plot and plan to have us meet.
I believe so. It was a very important day for me personally, just because I had come through a lot of things in my own heart. And we were talking earlier about the soul. I had come through some things in my soul that I never realized were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a timely day, so.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It was good to get to know you on that cruise, so. I'm excited about this podcast. the thing that I've been up to the most is the Lord really broke my heart for the inmates that are incarcerated recently. And that was never on my radar, never.
Yeah.
I traveled around to 41 countries now, been on television, radio, preaching the gospel, singing the gospel, leading revival meetings, extended meetings, watching people's lives be transformed, but I never actually went and visited the prison. And when I came through some of the stuff that I was going through, I actually heard the Lord say to me, you know, you haven't really seen me in the prisons yet. Mm-hmm. I'm actually there. And that was kind of the word that got me going. And one thing led to another. I talked to a police officer in my own community, and they connected me, and then they heavily vetted me. It took me 3.5 months to get through the system.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, and the chaplain said, I want to make sure that you really want to give your time to be here, because we have a lot of people that call, come, and leave.
That's right.
And so I've been there almost a year in October.
Wow.
This October will be 1 year, and they give me a classroom with about 35 inmates for 1 hour and 15 minutes, and then they circulate another 35 inmates that come in for another class, and they give me a big whiteboard and markers. So I've really had this teaching, the this teaching anointing come on me the last couple of years as I've been studying the Word and getting along with the Father and, you know, just going through my own stuff, to be honest with you, Kat. You know, yeah. A lot of people know me from the Lakeland Revival leading worship, and some people think they know me, but they don't really know me. Just like most people don't know everybody, you know, like until you come behind the closed doors and know what's going on. And the Father's been leading me to show me what's been going on in every person, including myself, with their spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, Kat, I honestly didn't realize how amazing our salvation really is. Mm-hmm. And how watertight and how sealed it actually is.
Yes.
So there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 1:13 that says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the best way I can understand it that's really helped me see it is if you got three circles, if all your viewers or all your listeners could vision three circles that are intertwined with each other, you take the soul, you got the spirit, the soul, and the body. And if you've got the spirit, when you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, according to the Word of God, his seed entered your spirit and intertwined itself with you, and you became one spirit with the Lord. And it's like it vacuum packed and sealed it. And I don't know if you think this is cool or not. I sure do. But I learned something about when I'm going to go right for it. You know,
go ahead.
Your podcasts are probably wild.
Yeah, they are.
We have wild people out there.
Well, do you know, at conception of when a child is being conceived, the moment, and I'm sure everybody's adult here, so when the sperm enters the egg, only one is allowed into that egg.
That's right.
And in some cases, we have seen two, we have seen three, we have seen four. But in the majority of cases, only one is allowed. And I would like to call that egg the Holy of Holies. That only one is allowed in there. And the moment that happens, I didn't realize this. I discovered this through some scientists and some discovery stuff. That the moment that sperm enters the egg, did you know that the egg immediately forms a shell, and immediately it's like a new membrane just immediately forms out of nothing?
Yes.
And kills off every single other sperm and locks in that life that's come into the egg, and then it begins to radically, ridiculously multiply without any stopping it.
Yes.
And I saw that and I went, that's our salvation. I said, the moment we believe Jesus died on the cross, we believe that he rose again. And we said, Father, we believe you are who you say you are. He came in through the seed and locked our spirit with his and joined our spirit with his. And we are now united with Christ. And then I've got this diagram I drew out that says in John chapter 10, verse 29, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hands. And then John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. Hebrews 13:5 says, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have is an anchor to our soul. So if all your listeners can imagine the Lord's hands around their soul, with his nail-pierced hands around their soul, inside of their human being, and there is an anchor, you could just for imagery, firing this javelin or this grappling hook out of him and into your soul. There's nothing that can pluck you away from the Father. There's nothing. It's impossible because your spirit is vacuum packed. Nothing can get into your spirit and nothing can get out. It has been sealed and you are one-third saved salvation. But your soul and your flesh are being brought into the salvation process, and you're being sanctified and purified and being made ready to be with him forever.
Yeah, you know, that was all of his, part of his original plan. Even when he made planet Earth, he had to have a space-time planet, a literal physical planet, a place to send us from himself, because we didn't have our body. We didn't have any of the body on us. We needed the body to be in this world. We also need the body to rule in this world. And so he had that as his plan. That he always wanted us back to himself. And I also did know this, that at that moment that that sperm enters that egg, that is the moment of conception, and that is also the moment that your spirit man is attached. I knit you together in your mother's womb. That was the very second that that became, you know, your spirit man was attached at that time of conception. And when that happens, I always knew, the Father had told me, there's always a flash of light. He told me that.
Yeah, that's
the flash of light. He said, that's the you I carry, that I, the Holy Spirit, planted and knit you together in your mother's womb. That was what that flash of light was for. And then years later, scientists have also proven, they don't even know why, but they do know at the moment of conception, there is a flash of light, and they actually can see that flash of light. And that is your spirit man being attached also at that time of conception. So that's when life begins.
Yeah, and if any viewer, sorry, I keep saying viewer, if any listener wants to find that, just go on YouTube and type in flash of light at conception. I've seen that.
Yes.
And it's not just a flash of light. They say it's a burst of energy. They don't even know where the energy source comes from.
Yeah, it's both at the same time. It comes from God. It comes from God, people. That's where it comes from.
isn't it interesting that it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then like the first thing he says is, let there be light?
Yes. Light is a very important substance in heaven. It's used for everything in heaven. And so, of course, that light would have to be put everywhere else. It would have to be go throughout the universe. It has to go throughout the planets. Even ourselves, everything in this earth has a shape or form or an amount of light, a measure of light in it. So we would have to have that. That was light in the energy of God.
Yeah. So, Kat, let me ask you a question that I hear a lot of inmates ask me, and I've actually heard a lot of Christians ask me. Can I lose my salvation?
I will repeat a scripture that says, pray that your name not be blotted out of the book of life. And that is the main evidence in heaven and in the word that says you can. But it would have to be extremely drastic for that to happen. Even Lucifer had such a relationship with God. One of the greatest relationships with God was with Lucifer and the Father. And yet he chose, it has to be something you choose. He chose to forever end that relationship with him, and not just end it, but turn against him, revile against him, begin to hate him, despise him, and even have many others come against him. And it took all of that. God didn't kick him out of heaven immediately, but there came a point where Lucifer himself created, we know it said iniquity, it was born in him. He chose that. It has to be something that somebody chooses. No one else themselves can make you lose that salvation, but that scripture is in there. And I have to say, because according to the word, if your name is blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, it talks about at the end of everything where he opens it. And so if it's blotted out, that means it's like it was never there. That is the one reference I hear about that, or see about that even, in the Word. But it's much harder to lose than what most people think. They think if they just commit a sin or something like that, that immediately wipes you out of God. But God, Jesus said he's married to the backslider. So there's more evidence showing that he is, his whole purpose is to keep you and have you. I mean, we came from one Father in heaven. He carried all of us, and he sent us to this earth, not so we could sin and go live in hell. I absolutely believe that God purposely plans to have a lot more of humanity in heaven and in eternity with him than what would be found in hell. But the Bible also does talk about that there will be those wicked dead that are brought up at the end, then go before Jesus, and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, the great white throne judgment.
Which would mean that he actually never really got to know you, because you
he
never
didn't get
had
to know him, because either they didn't really mean what they said, or they so utterly turned against him that he had to wipe them from that.
So describe for an inmate, for instance, or for somebody that talks to me, describe what that looks like.
God calls them treasures in darkness. That's what he talks to me about. He said they were some of the most important people he sent to the earth with very powerful divine calls on their life. And the enemy from the time they were born purposed to get them in crime and drugs and then actually help them be caught and put behind bars because Satan so wants to use them. And his purpose was to get them away from him because when you're brought into this world, your angels are there with you. And by the number of angels somebody has, the enemy can very easily tell they have a great purpose from God. So he will actually target them to get them out of the earth and in behind bars where they can't do any harm to him. So that's actually plots and plans against them. So these people, that's why God says, don't forget them. Go and see them because they have a great purpose in their life for him. He doesn't want them to lose that destiny. But the enemy, on the other hand, is terrified of them. So most people in prison were targeted by the enemy from a very young age to take them out.
So would you say the ones that get the most attacked obviously must have a very strong call in their lives?
Yes, they have a very strong call in their lives. And even when I've ministered in prisons, so I know about this. I'm in the prisons. Their angels never left them. The angels that were assigned to them,
they're still there.
They're still there. And at any time they turn to God and give themselves to him and lay down their life, even in the prison, they can be so powerful for God. And God has purposed that there will be a point where some of them, no one ever expected to be set free because they've so given themselves to him. He still wants them to complete their destiny. They will eventually be out. But I teach them, even while you're in here, you can be so dangerous against hell. But
absolutely,
you can rule from inside that prison with Jesus Christ. You don't have to lose what he gave you. So God literally tells me the first time I went was to a men's prison. And he said, I'm going to send you to the treasures hidden in darkness. He doesn't call them wicked, defiled. He loves everyone, but he has such a purpose for their lives. He still wants them to see that. And he also doesn't want the enemy to go after their family members, especially if it's a generational thing. God wants him to be aware of you change your life, you change your heart, you can stand in that gap for your loved ones and your children, and they'll never get sucked into that same system. Because Satan will many times go after them. And they even said to me, how can I pay for my family? They're beginning to get into the same thing I was before. And I don't want to see that happen. You know, because some of them have actually been born again by the time I got there. Many weren't. And I was given like 80 people. And they would give prisons that would be inside the room. Prisoner guards would be in that room with me. But they were so captivated by hearing truth. If you hear it from someone who knows it, they're all captivated, even the guards were, to know the truth about what Jesus thinks about those people. And they have destinies because they don't see them that way. They see them as trash, something to be hated and despised. But God wouldn't tell us to not forget them. It's his purpose for her to go to them. So you are definitely doing the work of the kingdom.
Yeah, it even says to imagine yourself to be like them.
That's right.
So that you can understand them. And there's some amazing people in those prisons, I'll tell you. They are the forgotten ones, but they're not really forgotten. And anyways, that's awesome, Kat. I appreciate you sharing that because that's some of the questions I get out there on travels. You know, people ask those kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned about their salvation. They come to the altar, you know, 100 times.
Yes.
Some people, they're constantly rededicating their lives to Jesus, and they're just going, how do I know that I am saved? How do I know that it's done? And I've been able to help them a little bit by showing them in the Word. Forget my opinion or what I feel.
Yeah.
I don't want anything but the Word.
That's right.
Nothing else means anything to me. And I was able to show them some of these things. It's powerful when you think about it. What Jesus did is absolutely, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's actually believable, but you know what I'm saying? It's just amazing.
It is amazing. People miss so much, or they're not taught that. They're not taught what happened, even in the garden, and what he put inside his body. And it was wonderful that he was willing to be nailed to the cross, but really it was done in the garden. He was perfect and pure and holy, and drank everything and put everything in his being that was the most evil, wicked sins, sicknesses, diseases, anything, any crime or sin anyone could commit. He had to put all of it in himself, and that is what was nailed to the cross, and that's why he's the only one who can forgive it, because he laid down his life so that stuff was nailed to the cross. That's why he has the right to forgive sins.
It's amazing.
And even at that time, it was so powerful in the spirit when you did that. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No, what were you saying? Finish your thought, please.
I was just saying that's why I think in the resurrection movies that are being made, the number one thing they should show is what was in that cup. People go, oh, he drank the cup. No, you have to understand, that's where he died. Because he said to the Father, if it's possible, take this from me. He didn't necessarily want to put all that evil in him, knowing that was the only way that forgiveness could be done once and for all. And yet he was willing and said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so he drank that cup. That's why he sweated the great drops of blood. It wasn't because he was thinking about being nailed. It was thinking about what was being put in his holy person. That is what made him sweat the great drops of blood.
And he was tempted in every way for 40 days straight. I think a lot of people forget the fact that it wasn't like the devil came along for a couple times and just tried a couple temptations. It was nonstop for 40 days.
It was.
To the point that the angels had to come and minister to him. His flesh was so weakened.
Yes.
And no food.
Yeah.
And no, it sounds like he was all by himself. So
he did not want him to take that cup. He was trying every way he could get him to fail. If he failed, or if he could get him to sin, it wouldn't have been, he couldn't have taken the cup. And so Satan's whole point is always to bring the destruction of something that will be so horrible for him, so dangerous for himself, which is why he was after Christ, hoping in some way he could get him to fall or sin or just want to back out of it. Mm-hmm. And none of that happened.
And that's interesting. That brings me to another point about the spirit, soul, and body, is when you understand that your spirit, when you became born again, you can only be born again from above and from below. Mm-hmm. You have to be born of spirit and of water. You have a soul that it seems to me that he has put us in charge of, and we direct traffic. So when the enemy comes to our flesh and tries to get into our soul, the only way he gets in is because we give him authority to come through us.
You're right.
Correct?
Yes, right? Absolutely correct. Yep. That's why he says, guard your heart. Your heart is your soul. Where he said the heart in the Bible, he's talking about the soul. The soul is in the very core. In your spirit, man, it's a spiritual thing. You cannot see the soul with your eyes. You see the flesh. You can't see the spirit or the soul. But the soul is the core of your being. And he told Adam he became a living soul. That was very key when he said that. Because when we lived in God, we didn't have to make decisions. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? And yet when he sent Adam to the earth and made his body, he wasn't even alive. He made the body, was not alive, because that spirit had to be attached. And along with that spirit man he attached was the soul. And Adam was the first being, and he wasn't even made a baby, see, because he made him different. He made him full-grown adult, and Adam was then, at that moment, accountable for his decisions and consequences for his decisions, and that's why he was a living soul, not like a sleeping soul. Inside of God, we still had it, but we didn't have to use it. Your soul is your mind, what you think about, your will, what you choose, and your emotions is what you display, what's inside of you. So your soul is one of the most important parts of you. That's why the body needs to understand the operations. You yourself can make your soul prosper by not letting stuff in, keeping stuff out, binding the things of God to you.
And I'd like to talk with you about that because knowing your story a little bit, You told me that you're from 15 people in your family, at least siblings.
Yes.
Yep, I'm number 15.
Jen's number 15.
It caused you to be, you know, from what I've known about you, quite humbled. And it wasn't about you. It was about everyone else. And, you know, it's obvious that your mother, who I got to meet, really nice lady, she kept you guys in line, so to speak, and just ministered to you guys and kept the Lord as the center of everything. But we live in a society that has, especially a lot of evangelicals that have been raised doing both things in the world and things by the Spirit. And so you got this mixture going on with a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. And I'm not talking about just, you know, you're saved and you're in the world ministering to the world. I'm talking about the ones that are claiming salvation being mixed with the world.
Yes.
And so what would you offer to some people like that? They just need to get out of there. They need to get out of that, right?
They do need to get out of it because they can affect their own destiny by the choices they're making. God is now, at this time, looking for those who will manifest and demonstrate His character, His power, and His plans. And you cannot necessarily do that filled with the world. And by the way, the Holy Spirit calls gray. You're supposed to be filled with the light, not the darkness. And when you try to mix them, and the enemy looks in your soul, he'll see gray. If he sees gray, that's not going to be a good day for you, because that will give the enemy entrance to come against you, use you, influence you. So what you're doing is you're allowing that worldly atmosphere to invade your soul, and you're choosing it by the things you watch just on television. A TV, right. I see, is a portal. Movie screens are portals. They let both sides in, heaven or hell. And what you're watching in that theater will totally affect you before you come back out. And I tell people, don't keep the wicked, the extreme violence, the profane language. And I tell people, they think, you know, well, I'm not going to sleep with somebody. I'm just blunt at this point in my life. I'm not going to sleep with people, or I'm not going to kill somebody. And yet they will speak hell's language all day long. These are Christians, and they think it's perfectly okay, but hell's language is profanity, and when you speak it, you draw that darkness to you. So he says, guard your heart. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, that's again your soul. That's what you are. So you actually can shape your own soul by what you allow, by watching, by speaking yourself, by listening to others. You're letting stuff in your soul that will actually be collected in the layers of your soul. Eventually, it's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm. Now, the encouragement side of that is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither principality or power or thrones or heaven or hell or life or death. He loves us, but we can choose not to love Him back.
You're right.
We can choose not to choose Him.
That's
and
right.
And like I said, we are surrounded. I know, you know, you're in different circles and I'm in different circles, and then we're both in the same circles. And, you know, we all live on this earth together. You come across many different breeds of people. And what I'm hearing out there is there's some confusion going on with people in salvation. There's this grace message that Jesus was definitely grace. I mean, oh my gosh, look who He forgave. He forgave all of us when we didn't deserve to be forgiven.
You're right.
And we were forgiven anyway. But then at the same time, He's also, His Father is, I'm not going to say disciplinarian, but He kind of is, in a good way of saying training. Hebrews chapter 12, don't despise the chastising of a father, especially the one who lords over the spirits. You know, that's our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And, you know, for me personally, just to bring it back to me so I'm not just kind of putting it out on everybody else. For me personally, in my life, I was raised by a single mother in a broken home when I was 2.5 years of age. And I was quite rebellious, but I found out through the years that there was a lot of trauma that took place in my home as well.
Yeah.
So I can relate with a lot of people. I spent 1.5 years in a children's home, 6 months in a foster home, waiting on a list to get into the children's home. So I was 2 years away from any family. And I was in a dorm room with a roommate, and I had a whole dorm full of boys who, a lot of them, their parents neglected them, abandoned them. They got their hands on pornography or drugs or alcohol or whatever. And some of them even saw their parents kill each other. And I remember growing up with all that and thinking, man, I'm not like those guys. But I had my own stuff that I was dealing with.
You have your own stuff you're dealing with.
But do you know what helped me? You know what helped me through all that, Kat, is when I was 11 and a half and I was in that children's home, I was hurting so bad. I just, you know, this is what helps me relate with some people today. I was hurting so bad in my heart. I was hurting so bad with my life. I didn't even want to exist. In fact, I tried to commit suicide when I was 11 and a half because I got in trouble, and I didn't want to get in trouble, so I just wanted to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it. I couldn't go through with it. But my mother bought me a student guitar, a guitar from Salvation Army, and I learned about three chords, and I began to sing to the Lord in that dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sang to the Lord in that dorm room, I remember actually feeling his presence. I didn't call it presence. I just called it, man, it feels good to sing.
Yes.
That has stuck with me ever since then. But then as I got older, you know, as you know, the Lakeland thing that happened with me and the worship and the travel and all that stuff, as I turned 40 years old and I met you, and I'm being really transparent for everybody listening, by the way. When I met you, I had come through some things in my own soul that I recognized I had also mixed some things with salvation.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid growing up, because I didn't have much discipline.
Yes.
And it was like the Father stepped in. I mean, here I am 40. I've led, I don't even know, I've probably led about 50,000 people to Christ in my whole entire lifetime.
Yes.
I've probably, you know, all the stuff that you would look at as an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in my own soul, I was saying to myself and to God, I feel like I haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And it was almost like he wanted to go in and said, Roy, there's some fruit in here that you've ignored for 30 years, and I have to prune that.
Yes.
I got a friend, and I'm dropping a name, but it's not to name drop. It's just to drop a name. That's a funny thing. Anyway,
yeah.
Bill Johnson is a friend of mine, and Bill said the way that God rewards growth is pruning.
That's right. He really does, not the way you would expect it. His highest...
That's not what I was thinking, but he's a farmer.
Yes.
God is a farmer. He's not a sheriff.
His highest pleasure,
right?
His highest pleasure over you is when he prunes you.
Oh, but it's the most painful.
I was going to say, it hurts.
It is painful.
But then when it's done, you feel so much better.
Well, let me share a story with you, then I'll give it back to you here, okay? Like, for instance, in my backyard, I have an orchard. We have every kind of fruit imaginable, and we have a pond full of tilapia and catfish and red-tail fish and all that stuff. We have papaya trees. We have mangoes, limes, oranges, miracle fruit, passion fruit, dragon fruit, sugar cane, bananas. We have, like, this whole lime and lemons and all that.
We wow. need to come visit you.
My husband will be there tomorrow to fish.
So we have two Cambodian people. This is actually their land. We lease from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they take care of the whole land. And they said, you can have all the fish you want and have all the fruit you want. You do what you want.
What a blessing.
So they come through and they fix everything. They don't believe in anything, by the way.
Yes.
Like, I asked them, are you Buddhist? Are you Hindu? Are you Christian? Oh, no, we have no religion. We just believe you work hard. And if you work hard and treat people right, you'll be right. And we just believe you should just do unto others as you do unto yourself. And I said, wow, Jesus said that. But anyway, so we had a hurricane come through here. You probably remember it was Hurricane Irma.
Yes.
And Irma came through, and she blew and blew and blew, and it knocked down a lot of our trees, and they laid there for 4 months dead, basically. They never propped them back up or whatever. I think they were out of town at one point. And about 4 months later, I go to the backyard, and I notice that this one tree, I think it's a lime tree or a mango tree. I think it was a mango tree, actually. It had no leaves and it had no limbs. It looked like a dead, petrified, black fence post.
Yes.
With, like, no roots. It was, like, laying on the side. It looked like it was dead. And I noticed that the guy's name is Peter. He's one of the Cambodian guys here. Him and his wife came out and propped it back up and then tied a piece of tape around it and put a 2x4 up to it and planted it back in the ground.
Yes.
So he was in the backyard one day. And remember, I'm going through my heart right now. I'm talking to God about all this stuff. He's just pruned me. And I feel like he's upset with me because maybe I've done something wrong. And all this. I'm just being honest.
Okay.
And I look at this tree and I said, Peter, why are you saving this tree? This thing is dead. He looked at me real quickly and he goes, you're not a farmer, are you? And I said, no, I'm not. He goes, come here, let me show you something. So we come around the side of this tree and he points at the very top of it. Now picture for all the listeners, you got these 6-foot black, gray, dead fence post. No leaves, no limbs, dead.
Yes.
And he points at the top of this, and I said, what? He goes, you see that? I didn't see nothing. I had to look closer. You see that? And I'm like, that? And it's literally a blade of grass growing out of the top of this fence post.
Yes.
And I said, yes. And he says, see, that means it's got good root.
Yep.
And as he said that, Kat.
Yes.
The Spirit of God hit me right in front of this guy.
Yes.
And I started bawling, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I want every person that's listening to this podcast, listen to me. Because this is the heart of our Father. I feel the presence even talking to you.
Yes.
The Father speaks to me, and I hear him say, Roy, you are so easy to throw yourself away. But see, I know what I put inside of you, and you can't see it.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm just like bawling, and I turned to the Cambodian guy and I said, Peter, you're preaching the gospel to me. He goes, ah, that funny, and he walks away.
But he was.
But so I'm standing there for a half hour, Kat. Tears are flooding down my face, and immediately I thought about Luke chapter 13, where the parable of the fig tree, where the guy passerby comes along and tells the farmer, hey, shouldn't you throw this fig tree out? It hasn't produced fruit for 3 years. He says, no, give me one more year with this guy. And let me cultivate the ground. Let me take care of it. And then if it produces fruit, well, then it'll be well. And if it doesn't, then we'll tear it out and throw it in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, God is not finished with anybody right now.
That's no,
right.
He's not.
It's raining right now. I don't know if it's raining in Jacksonville. It is thundering really bad, and there's a storm outside my studio window right now, and the rain is just batting down right now like crazy. We've needed rain in Florida for the longest time, so this is actually wonderful.
Yes.
Yes, it rained all the way back from Orlando.
And here's what I hear the Spirit of God say. That's why he rains on the just and the unjust.
That's right.
His word is watering us. It's growing us. He's not finished with anybody yet. Those inmates inside the jail cell, the Christian that's crying their eyes out thinking that they've totally blown it, they haven't blown it yet.
Yeah.
Because if they're even worried that they blew it, they haven't blown it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're concerned that you've blown it, you haven't blown it.
You're absolutely
right. If you're
right.
Not concerned you've blown it, you probably blew it.
Yeah.
Till people, I get that question a lot. They had done something really... what they thought was so horrible, God was going to wipe them off the list. And they said, I'm so absolutely concerned. I have committed the unpardonable sin. I said, you just told me you didn't.
That's right.
And they said, what do you mean? I went, if you had done that, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
There would not be 1 ounce of conviction in you. You would not care at all. The very
That's
fact
right.
that you are deeply concerned about it, it tells me, don't worry, you have not committed it.
Only a son or daughter would be deeply concerned about how their father feels about them.
Yes, you're right.
And I look at my own children. I look at my son and my daughter. They've done some stuff. They've gotten into some trouble. They've done some pretty interesting things. And you know what? It's in the past.
Yes.
Forgiven. Today's a brand new day.
That's right.
And, you know, I think of the person, what you just said, that says the unpardonable sin. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of an author by the name of George MacDonald?
I don't think I have.
How about C.S. Lewis?
Of course.
All right, so yes. C.S. Lewis read George MacDonald. That was his guy that he would go and get a lot of his theology from, was George MacDonald.
Wow.
George MacDonald wrote an interesting thing, and I got to find it somewhere, but I'm doing it by memory. He said he believes in his heart, he believes the Lord showed him, that to commit the unpardonable sin is to not allow the Father to forgive you.
Mm-hmm. I know, I tell people all the time, a good example of that is Lucifer. because Lucifer wants nothing to do with the Father. Even if it was there, he would not permit it. He would not allow it. Lucifer is someone who has committed the unpardonable sin. He can never be forgiven. And that's number one, he doesn't want to be. And so I use him as the highest example of he's not going to be forgiven. He will never be forgiven. And that's his choice to never be forgiven. So I would say that's probably pretty close to what his theology was.
Sure.
Almost no one has, almost nobody has ever done it that I personally know of. And I know a lot of wicked people. Lucifer, yes. Almost nobody else has done that.
Yeah, and you know, also in context, when Jesus was saying that, he was saying it to a ton of Pharisees that were standing there at the time who actually knew that he was the Son of God.
Yes.
But because he was ruining their economy and power,
you're right,
they didn't care, and they would rather choose their status on earth and their power and their ability to rule people.
That's right.
Than to actually tell the truth that Jesus really was the Son of God.
You're absolutely right.
So you're talking about an absolute outright, you know, I am not in agreement with you, even though I know you're who you say you are.
That's right. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, this has been great, because this is stuff that I think needs to be talked about, because there's a lot of questions in this area.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who've been Christians for many years, they're asking these questions. And I think, wouldn't you say that we're stepping into a time of clarity, that we're starting to really see the wickedness of what's really going on, and then the righteousness of what's really going on?
Absolutely, yes. What God is doing is erasing the gray area, so there is absolute clarity. You'll know that you know that you know this is darkness and this is light. There's no more gray to hide in. There's no more gray to be confused in. There's going to be no more gray to hide or be confused. Hiding is because you don't want people to know the sin that you're involved in. Confusion is you're trapped in it but don't know what to do about it. But God is removing that. He's bringing, there's actually an angel called Clarity, and keys of clarity are being given out to people that will have great understanding of that so that they can give revelation on it. So absolutely, you're right. That gray area that Satan has been hiding in and abusing people in will be erased. So less people will be trapped, will be deceived, and people who are playing in it on purpose will have revealed to them what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then they won't want, a lot of them won't want to do that anymore. This is because this is a time of greatness in the earth. It's not a time to escape still. And I told people, some people just want to, they want the rapture to come so they can escape and not be what God called them to be. But he's not willing for them to lose their destiny. If you're born in this time, you were meant to be great for him. And he is after that. So he is absolutely going to erase the gray area. And we'll see more and more movies coming out of Hollywood. I didn't talk a lot about that, but God is even going to take Hollywood for his purposes. And a lot of the movies that will be made now and even over the next few years will erase the gray that people have been hiding in. And these movies themselves, not necessarily even preaching the gospel, will, when people see them, understand there is light, there is darkness, there's good, there's evil, there's God, and there's the other, and that you have to choose in your own life, what are you going to do with it? Because the clarity would be so great in the movies, and God totally knows that Hollywood impacts lives around the world, not just here. And so I'll be a part of all that. That's God's choice. It's another platform he's given me, is the arts and entertainment industry, specifically the movie industry. God's going to have a lot of that. What he will create and have created will literally help to erase that gray area you're talking about.
You know, there's a great, you're talking about movies and stuff. Have you seen Alita Battle Angel yet?
No, I don't hardly get to see anything because I'm so busy. But
let me tell you, I won't give away the movie, but I'll tell this line that's pretty much in the trailer just about. So the title of the movie, I don't know if you've seen it yet, it's called Alita Battle Angel. And in the movie, without giving the movie away, just kind of the you know, like it is in the trailer, it has to do with a girl who's this young girl who was, actually, she was alive 300 years ago, but she doesn't remember who she was, and human brain and then everything else is like, she has like a robot body or whatever. Well, there's a city floating above the earth. It's on the earth, but it's floating above the earth, and everybody wants to live in the city above, and everything below is terrible. It's like Skid Row or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
Well, there's this great line in the movie that really reveals the darkness of Satan. And that is this, that there's some kind of host up in the city that's trying to control the lives of people that lives down on the earth. And so he enters through the eyes or whatever, and the eyes light up blue or whatever. And this girl realizes that she's an angel. She's an angel who's supposed to be doing war down here to tear down... This is the way I'm interpreting it, to tear down the devil's kingdom. And this line in the movie, she turns to one of the humans that the host has taken over and said, "Why do you stay down here and do this when you can just live in the city?" And the host says, through the human being, "I would rather rule on earth than serve in the city above."
Yeah, and just so everyone understands, since the word host to most people means heaven's army, we're talking about an evil being that has entered into somebody and is controlling them, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. So it was like, when I saw that, I think a lot of Christians, most Christians struggle with how they see the Father. And I know, I can be honest with you, I did. I know some major leaders that have shared with me that they have. I'm talking about people, if I said their names right now, you go, her? Him? I'd go, yes. We've had private conversations where they revealed that this is how they saw God for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because they're processing who he really is. And I think God is revealing himself even more so in these days to come to say, guys, I'm not who you think I am. There's two voices going on, and my voice is sweet and calm and loving towards you.
Yes.
And his voice is always anxiety-filled and power-driven and all this kind of stuff, when really it's, I'm your Father. And I see that we don't see the Father as we should. So with that whole line being said, I'd rather rule on earth than serve in the city above. That could easily be Satan saying, I'd rather rule the earth than serve in heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Lord showed me, the Father showed me that we have a lot of times in Christianity only see ourselves as servants. But he doesn't really have servants when it comes to us. He has sons and daughters who love to serve.
You're right. He even says you are no longer servants, but you are sons and daughters.
And isn't that something?
Yes, and the whole time the enemy is trying to lie to people that you give up everything when you get, that he will even convince them you will have no ability to be over, you'll always be under, you'll always be controlled by God, and yet God's not looking for control, he's looking for surrender to his will, because when you do that, you actually do get to rule. The ones who rule are the ones who know who they are in him, who they are a part of the Father, were sent from him. We are his true sons and daughters, and he made everything. And so we, if anyone had the right to rule, it would be those who know that. Because you
right.
can't do that if you don't have the relationship, if you don't have an understanding that we were sent here. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and give them what? Dominion. There's the ruling right there. So we were actually sent here to be over, not under. But the enemy tries every way he can to convince that God will control you. You'll never have fun. You'll never be able to do what you want. You'll never be you. You're never really you until you know who you are in God. So it's always been nothing but a big lie to control, deceive, to crush, kill, steal, and destroy. That is Satan's plan. God is to send his son to give us life and life more abundantly, to rule and reign with him now and in the time to come. Those are the two differences in the voices that speak to people. And it's whoever they give, their whatever voice they give themselves to is what they will become like.
Yep.
And your life will either prosper and you'll live in divine health, because the Bible says you can. If your soul is prospering, you can prosper yourself, which is more than just wealth. Wealth is just part of it. You'll be a joyful, happy person, very productive, filled with God and the light of God. That's prosperity. But the whole thing about living in health, even as your soul prospers, you will prosper and live in health. But that also tells you if your soul doesn't prosper, if it's filled with fear and anguish and offense and lack and control and all that stuff, there's no way you can prosper. So your soul is very key in your entire life and what you do and the choices you make. Every day you are making choices with your will that will affect your destiny in the way you feel about yourself and others. So we need to do a soul checkup, get rid of all the garbage and the lies, leave them behind in our life, run after what God has offered us and given us and promised us, and fill your soul with that. And
so
then you will
correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying it's not too late. You can turn right now.
You can make
those decisions right now, because today is the day of salvation.
Right this very moment, no matter who you are, where you are, what you've done, what you think you haven't done, you can choose with your own will to loose from your soul all of the junk, the lies, the trauma, the criticism, the drug addictions, all the stuff you've been involved in, the sexual activities you shouldn't have been doing. And you need to know this. Your soul has layers. And when you have a physical act of sex with anyone, you exchange the layers of your soul with that other person. You're running around with layers of other people's soul in you, and it'll mess you up. When you're loosing, loose those two. And God made you to be married to one husband and one wife is marriage. Okay, he said one. Because that joining together is symbolic of Christ and his church. We will all be one together with Christ. And that marriage supper of the Lamb thing, the reason you go to heaven as God's son and daughter and not somebody's husband and wife is we can only have one, and Christ is our bridegroom. So make sure you're not fooling around, playing around, filling your soul with layers of other people's souls. It will mess up your thinking. And so get rid of all of them, loose them all from your soul. Bind God to your soul. It says the keys of the kingdom. Loose what you loose on earth, you loose in heaven. What you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. And that's actually your soul. What you loose from your soul, you choose it. Heaven comes down and pulls it out like it was never there. And then when you bind the things of God to your soul, heaven comes down and plants them in your soul, and no one can take them out.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm celebrating. Sorry.
I just celebrated with my wife 20 years.
That's awesome.
Marriage. And I've never been with another woman but my wife. And, you know, before we met, her and I, we had been with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our testimony. And I got to tell you, for men out there, I want to take it another step further. What Kat's saying about, you know, the layers in your soul, don't think that that doesn't apply to pornography.
Oh, it
does.
Because
pornography, here's what I would say. If men don't get a revelation on this, then they're going to spend the rest of their life being tormented and all kinds of crap's going to come to their life. But if they don't get a revelation on this, when you look at pornography or you do the act of pornography or all those things, you're actually committing adultery.
That's what the Bible says. You're right.
Like but I'm saying men need to see it today in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually committing adultery, and not just with one, but with a slew of women that are other men's daughters.
You're right.
And your wife, you think it's not hurting your wife. You know what your wife is saying? And I'm saying this for a listener to somebody right now. Your wife is saying, how come I'm not enough?
Yeah.
See, Jesus is enough.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is enough. I don't need anything else in my life. Jesus is enough. And I tell you, Kat, I have really looked at this, not the pornography thing, but the whole spirit, soul, and body, and understood, and really, it's shocked even me of how amazing our salvation really is, that he did everything before he even started this whole plan. He rescued us before we even needed to be rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's like an evangelist inside of me that's just wanting to reach out to some of these guys to go, hey, man, he's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He's a father, and if you don't let him train you and discipline you, then you're not truly his son.
Yeah, he so much wants them to know. He is your real father. He is the original father. He should be the symbol and image of your father. The temporary one you had on this earth, it was necessary to get you here. I mean, that was the way he planned this whole thing to happen, to send you to this earth. Nobody was sent here as a mistake, regardless of how you were sent, who you were raised by, who you belong to. The point is you belong to him. He is your father, and he wants that relationship with you. Even if you've never had it, you can have that relationship. And he is so ready to forgive you for that. Because if you hang on to it, the enemy, you talk about not wanting to be controlled. If you belong to the enemy, you are being controlled.
Or how about he's already forgiven you, you have to receive it.
Yes, that is his whole heart, is to, for you to understand it's never too late, no matter what. He wants you back to him. He wants you to be with him in eternity. But in everything he does, because he is a fair and just God, he gave us the right to choose. That's why he says, this day I offer you life or death. And what does he say? He says to choose life. But at any moment in your own existence, you can choose that. You don't have to continue the way you're going on in your life. And what you do, especially as a parent or a husband, it will affect your family. Whether you think it is or not, it will affect them. And so if you care about them, if you love them, you can be free of all of that stuff that you've been involved in. And if ever I had an eye-opener of that was when I visited Hollywood. And I tell people there's Christians and then there's Hollywood Christians. And there are some of them aren't even aware that they need to change. And I can see why God is sending me to Hollywood. But his love is still there for even them and the actors and the actresses. And this is what God said. It's not that Hollywood is a bad thing. He said, but when the people who write the scripts, produce the movies and act, if they're filled with darkness, those movies are going to carry what's in their soul. It'll carry darkness.
Right.
But if I can get them and turn them and have the light in them, the very gift I gave them they're using for the darkness, they will use for the light. So there is hope. There's hope for everybody. Everyone listening, there's hope for you.
Beautiful. I love it, man. I love it.
And I tell people, God wants you to know him, love him. He doesn't just want you to stand up. He wants you to wake up, stand up, and stand out with the light of God and be dangerous against hell. Be powerful with him. And let me tell you, eternity, it is worth it all. Being together in eternity as one family and loving and caring about one another and enjoying what he has. What's even happening now is phenomenal. But what he's got planned in eternity even goes beyond that. Because our God and his son are creators. And they carry life. And you should be carrying the same life that was put in you. Especially when you got born again. And your DNA changed like God's DNA. And you have that in you. Even if you've been hiding it, holding it back, covering it up. You can set all of that free and be free. Why don't you pray, and then we can end. Why don't you pray, Roy?
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, thank you so much for every listener that's listening to this podcast right now. I pray right now that you would bring such a sense of your peace and such a comfort to those that are feeling the pull of this life and feeling like you're angry at them or that they've lost their salvation. I thank you, Lord, that your salvation is ironclad, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, that nothing can let them go. He said, who can pluck you from my Father's hand? I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Father, I know this is for a lot of Christians out there, a lot of people that are pretending to do the motions and going through the motions. And yeah, I go to church and I know God and I believe in Jesus, but they don't know you as a father. Heavenly Father, would you reveal yourself to them?
Amen.
As they open their heart? Reveal who you really are. I think they'd be amazed. I'm blown away. I'm absolutely blown away that in Revelation, the Apostle John goes up in the Spirit into the throne room looking for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, And when he gets to the throne, he's shocked because there's a little lamb with a wound across it. And Father, that is your true heart. It doesn't mean you have no power. It means your power is healing and forgiveness and mercy and goodness and righteousness and peace and joy. Father, reveal yourself to the listener today. Whoever's listening that needs to know this, you're a good, good Father.
Amen.
And you never let go.
That's right.
We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That Amen. Was powerful.
That was very powerful.
And God, we impart this day to every listener your life, your love, your presence, your revelation of who you are to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks. That was great talking with you.
Awesome.